Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, 40 Chess is back and the grind is here for the first time. Eric, a highly anticipated show we've been talking about for a while. Eric Van Eck and myself, we did a startup not too long ago, this offseason, with the idea behind it, showing you, giving a POV of me and Eric, obviously, at first, which is what you see, but how we actually run our team every week, seeing the grind, seeing us, you know, do the shit that most people don't want to talk about, the honestly, not necessarily as fun stuff, but the things that can be the reason that you do or don't win a league. Eric, man, how you doing? You ready to do this?
Yeah, man. We did this startup a couple months ago now before the season started. And yeah, I'm really excited to do this with you, man. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, kind of like a audio / video documentary type thing. And it's kind of just be me and you talking it out. Like, it's not going to be, oh, we got a certain topic or anything like that. No, it's just going to be raw me and you talking about our team, our matchup, our cuts. I made this league specifically to be very shallow. I think only 25 man roster. So
yep,
your cuts are meaningful. Your every kind of move that you make is going to be meaningful. And who you start and sit is going to be meaningful. So I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah. And it's you got a decent amount of starters, too. So I think this league is going to be a lot of fun to document, right? And to show everyone, give them the POV. And speaking of the POV, buddy, listen, the grind has to have the guy's showing you that we're doing it. We're putting in the work. We're getting our weight up, if you will. Let's go ahead and keep your weight from continuing to happen. Eric, let's go ahead and show him. Let's give it to him, man. Let's give him the POV. Show him the entire team. I'll let you kind of walk through the roster and, you know, I'll drive and you guide.
Yeah, so we did a podcast kind of on this a couple months ago, too, on America's Gaming, where we kind of talked about our team and our startup and how everything went about. So this is what we have going into week one. So it is, we're starting one quarterback, we're starting two running backs, you start three receivers, a tight end. We have four flexes plus a super flex for five flexes total. So we're starting the two quarterbacks with the super flex spot. And we got, pretty much, you know, the warp, I believe, was pretty equal for running backs and receivers, if I remember correctly. So that wasn't too bad. So it's probably going to be a little bit of mix of both of who we want to start every week. But from our build, man, we pretty much went, you know, running back heavy. And we did get some receivers. I know we made some really good trades that helped us out, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think and by the way, if you're listening to this on podcast form, the video version of this will be available in the Discord. If you want to go check out patreon.com/SouthHarmon, you can go ahead and do that. And over on the Patreon, you'll be able to get access to the video if you're not just auditory, you want the visual of it. So make sure you check that out over Patreon. But yeah, the warp was, there's definitely some scoring, which does help in favor a little bit of the running back. But I think one of the things we should talk about, at least, is in the draft, right? We kind of were letting the draft come to us, but we wanted to make sure we could contend if possible. I think in a vacuum, you'd prefer to contend than rebuild. And then as we were going down our draft, we felt like we were doing pretty decent. And we ended up making a pretty big trade, which gave us, I think, some of the depth pieces we have. Although we did end up, as you can see, we lost Rashi Rice with the suspension. We kind of knew something was going to take place. But at the time when we drafted, we were maybe hoping we could sneak him in early in the year. I think one of the things, too, to consider is we have we took a late shot on Flacco, which we both were pretty willing to do and were wanting to. Right at the moment, we have four starting quarterbacks, and Flacco and Stafford, obviously, they're not anywhere near as valuable as is Lamar or as even as Dak is. But you got to feel pretty good about our quarterback room personally.
Yeah, I really like our quarterback room. Plus, we have Lamar Jackson. He's in our super flex spot right now. We have Cooper Rush for his backup, and we have a high upside backup in Malik Willis. We like too. Mm-hmm. So we have six quarterbacks right now, and I feel pretty good about all of them.
Yeah, and I think the other thing will be pretty interesting to see. I really like, and you do too, DJ Giddens. I'm kind of looking just to see what kind of workload he gets early and if he starts to get more. But, we park him on the taxi, and if something was to happen to JT, you can bet your ass he's coming off the taxi. But for now, let him chill in the taxi. which, by the way, you can see we have 5 IR spots and we have 5 taxi spots. So we have moved in the startup. We moved our first and second in 2026. We have all of our other picks. So at this point, Eric, listen, going into week one, there's not typically, you know, anything crazy robust to cover. But one thing is, you talked about it and you highlighted it. We have Lamar in the super flex spot, and that's not actually for no reason at all. I think in week one, typically, it's kind of an under talked about point because everyone's typically pretty healthy. However, right, if you were to have back in the day, last year, it's back in the day, like CMC, right? If you had him stuck in your running back spot versus a flex spot, you maybe didn't have any other options to put in. And we put Dak in ahead of Lamar because Lamar is not playing until Sunday night. And especially as the season gets going, you know, you want to be able to use, you want to be able to keep players that are going to be playing later in the flex spot so you have other options if something happens and they don't end up playing, where if you know you're going to play Dak, right, go ahead and use the quarterback spot. Same thing with AJ Brown. And I will say, not the most friendly first game for us out of the gates here.
No, because me and you did talk about it pregame. I asked you, hey, would you want to play Flacco or Stafford over Dak? And I know in some of my leagues personally, I've put Flacco in everywhere I could. I think he's going to have a really good game. So, you know, I wanted to ask you how you felt about it. If you didn't feel it, I was cool sticking with Dak. Like, I didn't think Dak was going to have a complete stinker, but I don't think he played terribly. It's just they had two rushing touchdowns. So
for sure. No one saw Javonte having the two touchdowns. I also think – I honestly believe Dak didn't have any favors done for him. I think he played a lot better than his final output was. I mean, if you remember, that was a really great ball he threw to, was it Ferguson, I believe? And then he got his head taken off in the end zone, which ended up being why Javonte scored, right? One of those two. And then, you know, listen, it is what it is towards the end. But, you know, CD had, I think, 3 or 4 drops throughout the game. It was, I'll just say, I think there was a, it was a game where Dak actually played pretty well, personally, in my estimation. But the fantasy and the box score don't say such.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think he should have at least had, you know, 12 to 15 points, you know, hopefully if that touchdown would have came down, but even more, some more yards from CD and all that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, in hindsight, it sucks, but
I mean, it is what it is. And the thing is, Dallas kept that game, the way I was kind of viewing it was, not that Dallas would, like, get completely, you know, gaped, so to speak, but I thought Dallas might be playing a little bit of in a hurrier pace and trying to keep up, whereas they were really keeping pace with Philly early and often. So it's not like they had to get crazy with throwing the football till later. AJ Brown, on the other hand, though, that was a wild one, man.
I don't know exactly what happened there, but we weren't sitting him. Like, he was healthy coming into the game.
You shouldn't be sitting AJ Brown. What happened there was he got one target. I mean, that's just, it's actually kind of crazy. And that was literally towards the very, very end, like legitimately, like inside of 3 minutes left in the game or 4 minutes left in the game or something like that. Insane. So it is what it is, right? We have a couple clunkers week one, but we have some pretty good players in the lineup now. Jonnu Smith, we did draft right before the trade took place. So we'll see what he looks like in Pittsburgh. Anything about this roster or things you want to talk through as far as our lineup for the week one, or do you think we're pretty much set?
No, I mean, I think we can go through the rest of our lineup here. So our two running backs, we're throwing out Josh Jacobs and Chase Brown. I think those guys are both definitely top 12 plays on the week at the running back spot. So we're really good there.
For sure.
We come down to our other wide receiver spots. We have T. Higgins in and Matthew Golden in. T. Higgins is a must start. Matthew Golden, I think he should have a pretty good first week too. And he's probably our third best receiver right now with Rashee Rice out. So he's definitely in our starting lineup too.
Yeah. I agree. I do actually kind of like with as many starters as we have, having the boom bust stack of Shoddy B in the lineup, but I wouldn't put him ahead of Golden. I'm with you.
Yeah, I actually threw Rashad Bateman in once because I think when I checked the other day, we still had Rashee Rice in.
Yep.
We just hadn't changed it yet.
Lineup
so
flexing,
I was kind of looking,
you know, just lineup
flexing.
Yeah.
So I kind of just looked through our lineup, and like, we could talk about some of our other players, but I think us having Lamar and having Bateman and then having that probably be one of the more higher scoring games of the week, I think putting Bateman in made a lot of sense.
for sure. And honestly, like, as far as our flexes go at the moment right now, nah, I think we're pretty easily. I think we have some high upside plays for later. A guy like Bashaul Tootin, when he's, we'll see what he can do if he can carve out a bigger role early. But at the moment, right, there's too much uncertainty around, you know, what the hell Ollie Gordon's going to have, what Tootin's going to have early on. And I'm not, similar situation with DJ Giddens. So the only question I actually have maybe to talk about is, do you prefer Chiggy this week to Jonnu?
Ooh, that one's a good one. We can definitely talk about.
I personally do, but it's okay if you don't. We can talk through it.
Yeah, I mean, Jonnu is coming back off of a little bit of an injury, so we don't know if he's fully healthy yet or not. Like, he's not on the injury report or anything like that, so that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not listed on the Wednesday injury report, so he came in, but he had been dealing with a knee injury the whole time, and Chiggy has been really good and solid, so I'm okay playing Chig over Jonnu if you want to make that swap.
Yeah, and I think, I do. And the other thing I'm thinking is, like, listen, obviously we know why Jonnu's in Pittsburgh. He's familiar. But when we put Chig in there, to me, the other thing is with him, especially with Cam Ward, I just threw
Chig in, so we're good there.
I think right now with a slow start, I think he maybe has a slightly more upside, too, that we want to try to swing for. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, and if you're going to try and beat the Broncos, like, it's not going to be at the wide receiver spot. Like, it's going to have to be through passing the running backs, passing the tight ends and stuff. So that does make a lot of sense. I'm good playing Chig over Jonnu just because Jonnu's coming back off the injury. I don't know how exactly they're going to use Freiermuth and Jonnu together. I think that's going to be really interesting to see. And plus, the Jets-Steelers game is one of the lowest under-overs, you know, unders of the week there. So
yeah, for sure. It's a really low scoring affair they're projecting. I mean, I think one of the issues when Jonnu was in Miami versus when he's in Pittsburgh is I think overall the scoring, at least to me, I'm worried about Pittsburgh on a weekly basis kind of just being a slower paced team, not as many scores in their games overall. So no, I mean, listen, I'm not telling you we never play Jonnu, but I think for week one, we take the shot with Chig, who, I'm expecting big things from this year. Maybe not anything crazy, but again, we're waiting on the tight end position. If you know, tight ends don't matter until you got to put them in their lineup. Is there anything else that you're wondering about or want to switch out? I think at the moment, for me, this is pretty much a done deal as far as our starters go for the week. Kenneth Walker, I'm pretty easily set it and forget it in our flex. Like you said, we put Shad Bateman in. I don't think there was anyone ahead of him, and I think Rashid Shaheed is another one that that matchup's also supposedly, you know, pretty good. So I'm pretty much locked into, when I say supposedly, we really don't know what defenses are going to be year in and year out.
Yeah, and I would say some of our guys that are on our bench too, like Arroyo, we don't know what's going to happen there yet. Mm-hmm. Ray McLeod, you know, he was a solid play last year, but he was one of our last picks. I'm not going to play him over Shaheed.
No.
I mean, Tucker, Gibson, Tootin, Wilson don't have roles right now.
Right.
Ollie Gordon would be interesting, but I think I would rather play Shaheed over Ollie Gordon just because we don't know what kind of a role Ollie Gordon's going to have.
I think week two definitely could be bringing us a different conversation because of some of the players we have, but they're, you know, between Tootin, Ollie Gordon, and DJ Giddens, we truthfully have absolutely no idea what kind of snapshot they're going to be getting, honestly, right? So I think for this week, putting Shaheed in is probably the safe play.
Yeah. If you want to take a look at our matchup for the week?
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's do a little side-by-side comparison. So we got Chill Will. Shout out Chill Will, Patreon. You want to just talk about the matchups or?
Yeah, so we got our Dak against his Stroud. Stroud's got a tough matchup without Christian Kirk going in there too. So I'm pretty sure Stroud's going to score over 7.92, but there's a possibility that he doesn't.
You're saying there's a chance. I mean, I would project most people. Listen, hindsight's 20/20. I think Dak played pretty well. I thought the matchup was not necessarily a great versus that defense, but I thought there was a chance. And they scored, you know, 20 points. I just think a lot of things didn't bounce away. But 8 points is not going to be hard for many quarterbacks to pass in our league. So, when we go now to the next matchups at running back, and I like Jacobs and Chase Brown, but he also has some really nice running backs we're playing against here. Jenty and Bucky Irving. Where do you give the arrow here?
Yeah, I mean, the projections have him about 2 points over us with both of his guys at 19, one of ours at 19 and 17. So I kind of like our matchups a little better, like against Jacobs against Detroit. I think that's going to be a good matchup for him at home.
For sure. Then I really like that one.
And then Chase Brown against the Browns should be nice. Bucky against Atlanta should be really good for him. But
yeah, Bucky's matchup seems cakey. The one thing, and I have Gentile in a couple redraft spots, and we'll see. The New England matchup just kind of isn't necessarily the most inviting, in my opinion.
Right. And then at the wide receiver spot, we kind of got lucky a little bit because our opponent had Devontae Smith. He got 4.7 only, and our A.J. Brown 1.8. I'll take that as like a wash all day.
Right. I was going to say, if you look, we definitely got the wrong A. Brown. But if you kind of look at it, Smitty, while beating A.J. Brown, 2.9 point difference. So it's really going to come down to Amon-Ra versus T and then Judy versus Golden. I think right now with what we know, I would definitely prefer to have Judy than Golden. But I do think there's still plenty of upside for Matthew Golden this week, and I would still project Amon-Ra probably slightly ahead of T. But the one thing about T that I'm interested in, right, is if it's kind of getting a little more known, at least I've seen more stuff about it, how Denzel Ward's actually given Chase a hard time at times, and I think T. Higgins might end up being the guy that has to do a lot more in this matchup.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too. The Bengals matchup is really, really good for Judy. So I think Judy,
for sure,
he's probably going to have a pretty good game. But
Stefanski seems to have Taylor's number too. It's just like one of those things.
I think the Packers want to feature Golden too. Like, I think there's a pretty good shot that we're going to get a deep ball to Golden. Hopefully, he hits it for a touchdown. So that's kind of what we're waiting for there.
Yeah, and I think honestly, say what you want about Tyler Warren, I think him and Chiggy kind of project to be similar scores this week. But I think the matchup is really going to come down to, the flexes. But in particular, at the moment, we'll see what changes. But he doesn't have a second quarterback. And,
yeah.
I mean, he does. He's just not playing. That's Kenny Pickett.
So
right now, Rico Dowdle's in the super flex spot for him. And, I mean, at least at the moment, that to me is... I mean, I don't even know. Whoever you put in there, Pat Freiermuth, it doesn't really matter. It's a huge difference versus Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we can do is maybe put Dak down there.
Yeah, if you were to visualize Dak and Rico Dowdle. Now, is Rico Dowdle guaranteed to get more than 8? Not necessarily.
No, so we're kind of hoping that that's what's going to happen there. Like, whoever he puts in that super flex spot only gets, like you said, 8 points or less than 10 would be ideal.
Right. Yeah. If you looked at it and said Dak is, locked in at 8, but versus a lot of his options that he's going to be considering there, sure. And I think at the end of the day, too, Lamar versus Stroud in that matchup, even though it's at Buffalo, I really like it this early on in the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're playing Lamar no matter what. So
No. I'm just saying you're playing him no matter what. It's just I would much rather be at Buffalo, here in September than later on in the season,
Right. Yeah, true. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think let's see what they have the projections at the moment. Right now, it's actually got us down by 2, but a lot of football to be played.
We were up quite a bit until that Dak performance and AJ Brown. So,
well, I mean, listen, we were projected for 16 and 21 to give us not even 10. So here we are.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, yeah, that's all right.
We got some making up to do.
Anything else you want to go through and take a look at?
No, not really. I mean, I think just looking at the flexes here, I like our James Cook and Walker. I'd say his two best flexes are probably Pearsall and Aaron Jones. I think I'll take Cook and Walker in those matchups. And then Bateman against Pittman. I think that could be fairly close. Like, they have Pittman projected above Bateman, but we just need that touchdown from Lamar to Bateman.
I know Mike's really bullish on Pittman. I get it. I think Pittman's probably got a safer floor for sure. I'm just honestly overall for the Colts early on here. I don't know. I don't see a lot of upside really big upside for the pass catchers with Dimes, personally.
Right.
So I do think the projections kind of make sense. I think Pittman should get a ton of targets, but will they be efficient and how good is he going to do?
Yeah. And we got, you know, four Sunday night guys.
Yep.
So we have three Sunday night guys. That'll be really, really big for us on the comeback.
And that determines the matchup, right? No one's Monday?
Well, he's got Aaron Jones on Monday.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So it's going to come down to at the end of the day. Is it close and Aaron Jones? Okay.
Yeah, so we need to have a big lead after Sunday night. Well, all of our guys will be done then, so.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have that. I don't know that we even necessarily need to, but I'm really excited to actually watch that matchup in general. Ben Johnson and, you know, all the stuff that has been talked about with Chicago. I'm really looking forward to seeing this matchup.
Yeah, for sure. I think I really think the Bears defense is underrated. And then now you add in Dennis Allen, who's a really good defensive coordinator. He might not be a great head coach, but that guy has coached some really good defenses in his past. And when he has just focus on the defense, he's really good. And the Bears have a really good defense. There's a lot of good players on that side of the ball. So sure. I'm thinking that Monday night game is going to be low scoring, you know, close battle to the end, something like that.
No, I can see that. And I mean, honestly, just quickly to the coach point, a lot of times the head coaches which don't make it, it's because they struggle. They were great as a coordinator, offensive or defense, right? But when you go to be a head coach, all the different layers and things that come into it, multitasking, clock management, all that stuff comes into play. Some guys are just really great coordinators, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I agree with you. He's a very good defensive coordinator. So, yeah, I think I'll say this, at least right now, with our slow start, I think we are lucky to have the matchup that we do with the slow start that coming from Dak and T. But Dak and AJ Brown.
Yeah, if our opponent actually had a backup quarterback and could put him in the super flex,
maybe
I'd probably
hero mode.
Worried. Yeah, but I don't think we have to make any desperate like changes to our lineup to affect that. Like, I think we have our best lineup in, and I think we still have a really good shot to win. So
definitely. Yep. So I think at the moment, cause you know, there's not been a lot of activity. There was a bunch of trades during the startup, a bunch of fun stuff that happened during the startup and until now, but it's been pretty quiet for the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure pandemonium will pick up in the next coming weeks. But you want to go over any of the other matchups, or you want to get up out of here?
Yeah, we can go over those real quick and kind of give the rest of the league a little love.
Yeah, all right. So let's see here. So let's go. Let's go to the next one here. We got Gritty versus Hill Bullies. Hill Bullies right now, and it's projected to be a pretty close matchup, but really good start. Wow, interesting. Throwing Trey Harris into the lineup week one. I mean, listen, Herbert balled, but Trey Harris didn't really do much, right? One catch. And then we have on the other side, Ladd. You did have Ferguson, which, by the way, speaking of which, would have been nice to see him get a touchdown for our Dak. I thought Hampton, listen, Hampton was, he played more snaps than did Saquon Barkley, and also Javonte Williams, who played a shit ton of snaps. So I felt like for his snap share and how I feel like he's got a lot better days ahead, but he didn't do much there with 9.
Yeah. And then he, you know, mentioned he threw Will Shipley in too.
Oh man.
In a flex spot. I think I probably would have played Hunter Renfrow over him.
Does he have Renfrow on the bench?
He has Renfrow on the bench. I mean, Marvin Mims.
I might even just try an upside play of Marvin Mims over a long ball. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I mean, this though speaks to at least, I think, the league with how many starters we have, right? I mean, look at some of the names you just mentioned as far as starting options. So,
right.
Makes sense. I will say, I'm just kind of curious here to you. I get it with Trey Harris. I might have rather thrown in a handful of guys, but I might have even thrown in a Theo Johnson. Honestly, played two tight ends out of the gate right away. What do you think about Trey Harris? Would you have played him week one?
Probably not, from all the negative stuff we've kind of seen on him. So I agree with you. I would have played probably Roman Wilson or Theo Johnson personally.
Right. He's got, you know, Samson this week, which is a you know, pretty nice play. He's got Trevion Henderson, so good team. And we got Allen and Drake May for Hillbilly. So he's got a pretty good team, and we'll see what happens in that matchup. But close one for Gritty, Gimme Locks, and for Hillbillies. We got Rippin. Yep. Rippin versus Fresh Grub, right? And
yep.
Right now looking like pretty heavily favored to Rippin's side. He had Pickens, who didn't do a whole lot, but had Justin Herbert, we were just talking about. Dude, Herbert looked phenomenal, honestly.
He did, yeah. And we had Hurts versus Herbert in this one, and his Herbert outdueled Hurts, so really good start there.
Yeah, and Hurts, you know, nothing sexy, but again, just gets it done. And by the way, you know, anyone worried about touchdown rushing regression, 2 touchdowns, first game, no big deal, you know. So, I just think that the game from Hurts in the 20s is kind of like, I don't want to say overly expected, but if you just look at what he's kind of been doing for the most part, that's pretty, honestly, standard for him. When you look at that from last year, you know, this is a guy that's basically walking to 20 points for the most part. Matter of fact, he had two games last year during the regular season where he was under 20. So, like, I'm not going to say it was a bad game for him, but that's kind of what you expect. Herbert going for 35 is a big bonus, I feel like, for what we were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, 318 and 3 passing touchdowns plus pretty good on the ground. So, yeah, pretty good game there from Herbert.
Yep. In this matchup, the one thing is for Fresh Grub, I feel like there's just some holes in the lineup. I don't know if he's picked up some picks, but you got Caleb Williams in there, but he's playing Dante Thornton, he's playing Jordan Mason, and then Trey Benson all in the lineup at the moment. It's a two tight end league where I'm sorry, not two tight end league, but he's got two tight ends in there with Ertz and Ingram as well. So
yeah, it is a 1.75 premium league, and it is tiered PPR, so 0.5 for running backs, 1 for receivers, and 1.75 for tight ends. It's also a point per carry league, just 0.1, and then every first down rushing or receiving is also an extra 0.1. So
yep. And then on the other side, listen, he's got some really good matchups and good players over there, right? He's got Ford in the lineup right now until we see what happens with Quinshon, who did just sign, pretty decent one versus Cincy. We got Achan, Puka Nacua, Wandale Robinson. He's got another, it's funny because part of the reason I was saying that is because he's also playing David Njoku and Kincaid.
Yeah.
And then we have Darnell Mooney, Ramondre Stevenson. I don't love that week one, but we'll see. He's got Hunter Henry. So he's actually playing 3 tight ends week one, which.
Yeah.
Man, that's
and he's in our boat too because he had Addison get suspended. So Addison probably would have been in his lineup over Kincaid if he was playing.
Definitely. I'm curious to you here. Would you rather play Braylon Allen or Ramondre Stevenson?
Ooh.
That's probably the combo he's having.
Yeah, I think I would probably play Braylon Allen.
So would I. But again, you know, it's probably close. That's where I'm at as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with him having such a, you know, it's saying it, so he's almost got a, what, 25 point or 30 point advantage here. Like, mm-hmm. I think you can afford to just stick with Stevenson and, you know, he's safe and just right. Go that route.
I can see that. Yep. Yep. All right, so we'll move on to the next one. We got CM Frank, 2001, versus Super Buff Cherry, which is Shit Talking Metro. What's up? Yep. Shit Talking Metro was definitely someone to highlight and watch and talk about in the draft. I'll just say for his team, right, he's got Jaden Daniels and JCM, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out and goes with Washington game one versus the Giants. But he's got Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, JSN, Igbuka, and Odunze, as well as Goddard. Nice. His team is good, man. I think he sent, if I remember right, let me just go take a peek here. Let's give Shit Talking Metro a little highlight. I remember right, he sent at least his first away, similar to us. So a pretty good team, though. Let's go back to the matchup. Just we got Zay Flowers, Juwan Jennings, JCM. It got Gesicki in at his last flex, and McCarthy's in the lineup at the moment. Would you play McCarthy on Monday, or would you play Tua versus Indy?
I think I'd play Tua.
I probably would, too. I was just looking because I didn't see any – yeah, he doesn't have any stacks with McCarthy or with Tua for that matter, but I think I'm with you. As far as his bench goes, I think it's pretty clear and obvious that he's got the right squad in there. There's no one on the bench that is worth – I think giving a trot out week one, even over Gesicki, honestly. Maybe B-Rob if you got news, but I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to play, but yeah.
I'm with you. Speaking of which, because he's playing against Christian McCaffrey, he's playing Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and DeAndre Swift. Then you have Jefferson, London, and Garrett Wilson. So really strong at the
top. That might be why he's playing McCarthy, because his opponent has Jefferson. A lot of people do that. What do you think about that?
I don't hate it. I will say, though, in this matchup, if I'm looking at the rest of his team, right, and I'm kind of projected to – if I'm projected to need kind of a home run swing, like, he's projected to lose by almost 20 right now, right? If that's the scenario I'm in where Goddard had 17, beat Kelsey, actually. I think I would prefer to have someone that's not with Jefferson. Not that Jefferson's likely going to have a dud, but, like, McCarthy doesn't have the upside without Jefferson, right, to go crazy. I think Tua, I think, would potentially give me that. So that's where I would be. I don't hate the strategy potentially, but not in the matchup that I'm looking at. Because you have Kelsey in his tight end who did solid, 14. But then you got Evans, Jaylen Warren, Mark Andrews, and Deebo Samuel, as well as Justin Fields. So it's a really good lineup, man.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's
probably would have played Quentin Johnston, though, for sure.
Where?
I'm just saying I would have played him over anybody.
Over all of them?
Over Justin Jefferson, for sure.
I would have
sure.
played him over London, for sure. Yeah. Luckily we didn't have either one of these guys in matchup week one with our slow start, because this is a powerhouse matchup. Get through the last couple here. We have Tim H. versus the Mayor in Jaws, which is Castle Black. What's up, Castle? So we have Kyler Murray versus Bo Nix there. But we have Kyler Murray, James Conner, Tank Bigsby, Jamar Chase, Nico, Tyreek Hill. We got Trey McBride, Romeo Dobbs, Brenton Strange, Stephon Diggs, Tucker Kraft, and then Goff.
Pretty solid.
It is a solid lineup. It's kind of interesting, man, with the premium where it is and how many starters we have. A lot of multiple multiple tight ends and flexes here. On the other side, we got Bo Nix, Kyren, Javonte. Listen, Javonte in the lineup shows you how deep it is, because there's plenty of people that didn't have Javonte in their lineup and start 9, start 10, and that's a huge start for you. DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, J-Mo, Brock Bowers, J.K. Dobbins, Travis Hunter, Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, and Jordan Love.
Real matchup.
And it's crazy, because I think when I looked at the matchups and just overall team pound for pound, I mean, I probably would have been leaning Tim H's way. But now with that start from Javonte, I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
Yeah, for sure. And then he also had Keenan Allen on the bench, but I don't even know who you would have put Keenan Allen in over. But
yeah,
you know, imagine if he would have had Keenan Allen in the lineup too. He could have put this one to bed.
I don't think I could have put Keenan Allen in the lineup, especially knowing what you know now. I feel like it's at least a good thing moving forward. You could play him a little more confidently, but I think week one it would have been hard to play him over any of these guys in the lineup personally.
Right, yeah. And then I think playing Jordan Love against a guy who has Kraft and Dobbs, so I like that too for him.
For sure. And last one here, we got Zach Willard versus Brad, 304-009. Brad, shout out to you again. I know he's on the trade show, I believe. I know 304 is West Virginia, but if you could fill us in on 009. Anyway, we got Patrick Mahomes for Zach Willard, as well as Derrick Henry, David Montgomery, CD, Marv, DK. We got Kyle Pitts. Putting Xavier Worthy in the lineup is obviously what you should have done, but that really sucks to have that injury happen that early with him in the game. He also had Pacheco in the flex. He's got Tony Pollard and Nick Chubb, and then Baker to round out his lineup. Going against, I'll tell you what, man, the quarterback waiting strategy here for Brad, Geno and Aaron Rodgers. Not necessarily the most inspiring, but you got two starters in there. We got Barkley, we got Bijan, we got Terry McLaurin, Jacoby Myers, Tyquan Thornton in the lineup. It's an interesting play. We got George Kittle, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Cortland Sutton, Devontae Adams. How you feeling about this one?
Yeah, I remember Brad in the draft. I think he went like two tight ends and the three running backs like his first five picks. So he had to wait quite a bit. So this is an interesting build here. But yeah, I mean, Barkley did good. Basically matched CeeDee Lamb. He had to start Tyquan Thornton, but he got lucky with Worthy. And then Pacheco, like both of those guys combined, couldn't even beat Tyquan Thornton. So definitely, Willard's a little bit behind the eight ball here, unfortunately. But
I
really like Brad's team for this week. Like, he's got Geno and Jacoby Myers paired up together. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Rodgers should at least get you hopefully the 12 points, I'm hoping. So, I like it.
He'll probably get more than Dak had, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, and he's going against the guy who has Metcalf, and that's pretty much all he has to throw to, so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the this was the one to highlight where Brad also, to your point, right, to get and secure Saquon, Bijan, and Gibbs is one of those, you know, pretty rare start and builds in the landscape at the moment in a startup. So we will see how that pans out for him. But that's the matchups for week one. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more to discuss with our team and transactions. Certainly go with you throughout it week by week with what we do on the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go through and tell you guys who we pick up and who not. Injuries are going to happen, so we're going to have to make moves here at some point. And hopefully our guys, you know, do good. I think once we get Rashee Rice back too, that's going to help quite a bit. But I think early on, it's probably going to be our quarterback decisions. Like, we're starting Lamar every week, but it might have to be a decision on Dak. And if Flacco's playing to his MVP level like we fully expect him to, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I love your confidence. I personally kind of feel like, at least with what I saw from Dak in that game, I feel really confident in what they look like and that they're going to be, you know, high-powered and probably rolling him on a week. I don't want to say a weekly basis. Definitely having a conversation on a weekly basis if we should play him or not. But the next several weeks, right, to me, the Giants, the Bears, and the Packers, I feel pretty good about it. I'm kind of curious to see, like, if Matthew Stafford actually, what this back issue is. And, it, you know, with Devontae Adams in the lineup, if he ends up really giving us some decisions as well, personally.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure. We're going to have to see if that back can hold up week one here against a pretty ferocious Texans, you know, pass rush.
Yeah, and I think the last thing to talk about, right, just kind of a little forward thinking to think about for next week and just as we go forward here. You already talked about it. So are we starting 12 or 13 in this one? It's 12, right?
12, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, 12, start 12, right? And there's only 25 roster spots, meaning 13 bench. Okay, so it's almost 50-50, which, to your point, is the idea behind it is making the wire a little bit more, you know, there's a little bit better players on the wire. But then also, I think roster management is going to be pretty important in a league like this. And I think just kind of forward thinking, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but who are some of the players that you think we should consider? I don't want to say cloggers, but, you know, people that we can kind of churn and burn towards the bottom of our lineup here if we see some people on the wire that we want to pick up, or if we end up seeing a 2-for-1 trade at some point.
Yeah, I would probably say Antonio Gibson for sure. I think there's a possibility we could just move Elijah Arroyo down to our taxi, and we can cut somebody off of our taxi then, like Kate Stover or
Damian.
That's
a good point. That's a good thing to mention about this league. Taxis normally lock in a lot of leagues, and this one you can take them in and out, right?
Yeah, you can take them in and out. So
More like a practice squad than a taxi.
Yeah,
squad,
like,
right?
I think locking a taxi is pretty fucking stupid, if I do say so myself. So
the idea of either the taxi squad, I think, is as the generic way, is like a red shirt almost in college, where this is running it more like a practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah. So you can bring them up and down and place them down there. And what it really is for me is, especially, I think that we're doing four rounds on this draft, but it's allowing you to keep those third and fourth round picks who might not pop for a year or two, but you still really like and you want to keep them. Like, you don't want to like just drop them immediately, you know, just in case, you know, they do end up popping at some point. So
makes sense. And so you're saying maybe dropping, like, what, a Damian Martinez, something like that?
Yeah, Martinez or Cade Stover, Tez Johnson if he's not playing immediately.
Definitely.
Yeah, like one of those guys. And we can move Elijah Arroyo down.
Down, okay.
We can move Ollie Gordon or Bashaw Tootin down if we need to as well. So that could open up two free spots for us right there. And then we can go pick up whoever is hot on the waiver wire. So if you are maximizing your roster correctly, it's more of a 30-man roster league than a 25-man roster league. So
yeah, it can be a 30-man roster as long as you have the proper bodies. Essentially, you have enough rookies on your roster, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, for what I did with this taxi squad is I allow first and second year players on there. So that's why Cade Stover's on there.
That's right.
Because he's a second year player.
Yeah. So anyone, rookie sophomores, all can go down there. And then the other thing, too, is I just wanted to talk about what players are, for us a little bit, fringy as far as consideration if decisions come our way. But
yeah.
Obviously there's several spots on the IR as well. Right? We still have four open IR spots. So if anyone gets hurt,
yeah,
pretty easy, lock them in the IR.
Yeah. So I would say of like our own guys on the roster right now, I'd probably say Antonio Gibson would be one of the first ones I think I could cut.
Yeah.
If we had to cut, like desperately needed a spot, I'd be okay cutting Cooper Rush. I think that's a guy we could get back.
Agree. I was going to say Cooper Rush to me is certainly, like, right now, obviously you're going to keep the four quarterbacks. I think Malik Willis is a priority of the quarterbacks, and I think Cooper Rush is definitely, I'll say droppable.
Yeah. Have the Packers backfields. We have Jacobs. We have Emmanuel Wilson, and we have Marshawn Lloyd on our IR.
Right. And I think, let me just ask you this. I'm curious to see everything I saw from Ray Ray last year. I think he's actually an interesting stash in this league, and I want to have him, but if that all of a sudden became pretty
it would be to have to pick up a wide receiver, because right now we're playing 3 + 2 in our flex. That gives us 5. Mm-hmm. Ray McLeod's our only bench wide receiver right now because Rice isn't playing for 6 weeks.
So for sure. I would need at least, a handful of weeks to even feel like it's all right. Maybe this Ray McLeod experience is over. But yeah, definitely we'd be wanting to do that closer to when we would get Rashi Rice back, or maybe we'd have to make a trade or something like that, or pick someone off the wide that's a wide receiver.
For sure. But it's looking like gonna be a good first week.
Absolutely, man. Well, the grind is just getting started. The heavy lifting, all that, we're gonna see if our league's conditioned and if they're ready to take the abuse. But we got plenty of abuse our way in the first matchup with AJ Brown. Honestly, should have almost had a goose egg, and Dak Prescott having a rough game. So we'll see what comes in week one. But we will be back here, same time, same place next week for the grind. So we're going to be recording this on Saturday nights so that you can kind of get it Sunday morning before football starts and think about the same ideas for your team, roster construction, if you should be making some other moves. Make sure you're also checking out all the other podcast and videos we have out there. If you do want to actually make sure, if you're listening to this on podcast only and you want to go ahead and make sure you watch the videos, come check out the Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. It's only $1 a month, and there are tons of really good things and features from the Discord, as well as having access to the squad. Eric, you got anything before we get out of here, buddy?
Just one more quick thing. If you do listen to this on Sunday morning, join us at noon on the YouTube, the South Harmon Fantasy Football YouTube. We will be doing a live start sit show at noon Eastern, like we've done the last couple years. I'll tweet out a link and all that too, and I'm sure all the other guys, our main social, will tweet all that out too. So if you guys have some pressing start sit questions for week one, come join us, and it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. If you and make sure you go sub over to that channel, the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel, redraft focused. The Start Shit Show is going to be a weekly basis. And if you're listening to this on Sunday, it's basically a prelude to make sure you go check out the Start Shit Show. Any questions you have for your different lineups, we're going to be on there answering. I will not be on this week. I'll be on next week. But Eric will be there. Mike will be there. T-Rock's always there. We're going to have a bunch of people in and out floating through our lineup as well. We're going to be managing our roster, our starters, every week at Start Shit. But we'll see you back here. Same time, same place next week for The Grind Episode 2. We're out here. Peace.